Welcome to Books on Air, the podcast that you don't want to miss. You're about to get a sneak peek at what goes on behind the scenes with authors. We'll find out their secret recipe for creating a book. We'll tell you where they get their ideas, and you'll get the inside scoop on their next project. Want to know more? Well, we'll tell you where to find them on social media. Are you ready? Okay.
I'm ready.
Let's meet today's author. John, you are ready. Joining me today is John Crowley. He's here to talk about his book, The Smart Kids. John Crowley, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to speak to you from the United Kingdom, especially to all my friends and great people of America. It's really good to speak to you.
Well, you'll actually be available to the whole world on webtalkradio.net. The whole world could hear.
And to anybody else.
Interview, yes, good. Well,
absolutely.
And that doesn't that fall right in with the book? Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself because your backstory is a favorite of mine. You were a banker. And now you're a children's book author, and I love how that came about. Would you share that with our listeners?
Yes. It was a couple of years ago, and after work on a Friday evening, four of us went to the pub for a drink just to unwind. And the conversation came up, what would we do if we didn't work for the bank? And one of my friends said he wants to run his own mortgage business, which he now does. The other friend said he just wants to, hopefully retire and just live on a boat, which they do. And I said I want to write children's stories. I would love to get a book fully published, with a publishing deal, but I don't know how to go about it. And in the bank, there is a process where you left the branch, you moved on, and they bought you a present normally. Whether that was a present to say, oh, we're sorry to miss you that you're going, or finally we've got rid of him. thanks for coming. Great. They didn't buy me a present at Loughborough branch. What they bought me was a writing course here at the Quad in Derby. They bought me the writing course for creative writing, and that's where I met Alex Davis, my editor. And he has guided me over the years, in the last 3 or 4 years, on how to do a book. And that's how it really started. It was a conversation from four guys sitting around a table on a Friday evening after work having a beer.
See, I love that. There are people right now who are listening to you and I who have said, perhaps more than once, I could write a book, but they won't. They won't, or they haven't done it. I so admire you for taking that step. You've also done something that is extraordinarily creative. Your book is called The Smart Kids. And it's really filled with 17 different characters who are from 17 different countries. They're all children. Where in the world did the idea come from to do the book this way, John?
I had the great privilege of having a good job at the bank. And I would go on holidays around the world. And a lot of these places I've actually been to, like New Zealand, like Peru, like Chile, United States, Canada, to Kenya, to Israel, and to India and Nepal, and across New Zealand. And so I have been to these places. So where I have put the characters, I've been to those places, and I can recall these places. And I have sat there, at coffee shops and watched kids and observed and just created the stories from those places. I wanted to talk about each character Some of them I give them a learning disability. Some of them are given an illness. Some of them are extremely rich. Some are extremely poor. Some come from war-torn countries. So I have put the characters all around the world because I want children to understand that different children from different parts of the world lead and experience different lives. They face different things. But I decided to do short stories because, particularly boys in mind, they don't particularly like reading big books. So if there were short stories, they would get involved. And I'd tell all the readers where those characters come from, the places they go to, where they touch, the buildings they go into, the streets they go down. And when I talk to the children who I meet on the craft stores and craft events, I tell them to go on Google Earth or any other social app and go and see where the characters have come from. Go and interact with technology and the stories and see why I am telling you the story of that character in that country.
See,
that's what I wanted to do.
I think several things. First of all, I think your book is so important because it introduces a child to the idea that there is another kid that lives in a different place, that has a different life, and that doesn't look like them. So you really introduce the idea of diversity in a very gentle, very interesting way. I also think that it's so important because of all of the racial strife that's going on right now that we start at that age, that we start at a young age to begin to understand other cultures and begin to understand that other cultures bring different things to the table, and that just because someone is from a different place doesn't mean that what they do is better than you or worse than you. It simply means that it's different than you. So I just think that you have put your finger right on something that is extraordinary. And I can't imagine how you can do this. How do you come up with the kids? Do you just sit there and start thinking about the place and the character comes to you?
I do. My editor, Alex, said to me, there are two types of writers, one who plans it to the nth degree before they put pen to paper, and then the other one at the extreme end who can just sit down with a blank piece of paper or a blank screen and start writing. And I'm at that end because if I planned it in detail, it wouldn't work for me. I'd get bored. I like to know, oh, this is interesting. We're going to take the story here today. I'm going to take it there. Or I've seen something on the news or I've seen something on television. I'm thinking, now that's going to fit with my story as I'm doing at the moment. And I don't get bored with it because I'm inventing the story as it goes along. But I do have an end goal in sight for that story. I know that character is talking about certain things. And, I am 62 years old, and a lot of these stories are based on what I've seen, kids face throughout the world today. It's life's experience is thrown into the book as well.
And you see each character as its own individual, right? I think another thing that's important is that as a young person, as a kid, you were not a reader. You didn't like it. And your mom was an English teacher.
She was an English teacher, and I hated reading. And she would pull her hair out with me, and I would get down to the bottom of a page, and I would look to say, can I go upstairs now? Can I go out and play now? And she would just put her hands up in despair and going, oh, go on. But that's the whole story when I go into the schools and I tell the children, I hate her reading at your age, just like many of you do. But I then struggled, so I learned to read books. I started to enjoy them. I found a genre that I liked, crime fiction and spy books. And I got inspired by Tolkien, Philip Pullman, Lewis Carroll, C.S. Lewis, those authors and those books. And I say to them, life is a journey, sir. I've gone from hater reading to loving reading to now writing the stories and getting them published. But on the journey along the way, I've said there's many ups and downs, and that's why my characters talk about all sorts of different things, from school bullying to poaching to having dealing with leukemia to having fun, just being little divas, absolute little madams. And you know, I've drawn on life.
And I think one of the other things that your book is a treasure trove for right now is that we're dealing with this COVID virus, and the world is dealing with this. We here in the United States are really struggling at this moment in time. And many parents, for the first time, have had their children at home all the time. And they've had to deal with part of the education system, and they've had to be participants. They've had to almost be teachers. Your book, it seems to me, would be an excellent way to introduce different countries to a child. I love the idea that you talked about utilizing technology, doing Google Earth, Google the country, look at the customs. A parent could take each one of your stories and almost do a little unit out of it. Teachers who are having to do online education could take your book and use it as a basis for a whole unit about world geography and world customs. I just think this is such a wonderful approach, and it's so accessible for children. I just want to say, good job, John. I'm a former teacher. And I was an English teacher as well, and I think that's one of the reasons that this book is so exciting for someone like me, because I guess when you've been a teacher, you never think exactly the same way again. You always think about how could this apply somehow in an educational setting, and it just, if you'll pardon the English expression, gobsmacked me. I thought, this is exactly how this book could be used, and how fun and interesting it could be.
Oh, the characters can be quite funny, you know, when they are talking to, you know, their friends, because I always have one main character, and then I'll probably have two to three sub-characters which are supporting the main character. You know, they are friends, and they're all interacting, you know. And I have my little boy from Oman. He's my very, very wealthy, rich Arab boy. And I put him with Harold, who is my high-grade Down syndrome boy, because that little story is all about Fadl having no contact with MD with a learning disability, coming to the UK, facing something totally different, and experiencing a child with Down syndrome. It's the story of the two boys from different backgrounds, different wealth, different opportunities, different ethnicity, everything different, learning about each other's ways. And I put a Down syndrome character in because my late sister was Down syndrome. And I've been brought up with people with learning disabilities all my life, and also with people from different backgrounds, you know, different cultures, different colors, whole different creeds, different everything. So I have put all this into the melting pot of this book, and for kids to have fun, but then click on the technology and go and see where these characters come from. That's the whole idea of it.
Would you share a little of the book with us?
I would. I'm going to read just a couple of pages. Now, this is Ephraim. He's my little Jewish boy, and I went to Israel twice. And when you go to Israel and Jerusalem, there is the divide between the Jewish boys and the Palestinians. And these are two boys who are trying to unite the two cultures together. And they go to the White House to meet Barack Obama to tell him how they do it. But I'm just going to read you the first two pages. Is that okay?
Yes.
This is Ephraim. The thin, wispy clouds that sat high above the ancient city of Jerusalem would soon dissipate as the autumn sun worked its magic, leaving a wonderful, bright, clear day, exceptional for this time of the year, being September. For Ephraim and his Palestinian friend Amir, it would be a good business day. The early city walls that had protected the old quarter of Jerusalem for centuries against its many enemies still dominated the neighborhood. The 8 interspersed gates that allowed access to the various quarters of the old city were all aptly named, and possibly the most renowned was the Damascus Gate. The steps down to the Damascus Gate were crowded. Being Sunday, it was neither the Jewish Sabbath nor the Muslim day of prayer. A young Arab woman and her daughter had commandeered some of the steps with a huge display of designer trainers. Next to them was an elderly Arab gentleman selling a variety of coloured scarves, all neatly displayed on a small wooden trolley. The morning was cold as Ephraim set out to the bakery to pick up his and Amir's bread order. The warmth of the ovens and the smell of the different breads as the bakers they came out of the fire holes, a term Amir had given the baker's ovens, always put a smile on Ephraim's face as he entered. With the exact amount of Israeli shekels, Ephraim paid for the order and asked for the delivery to be sent to his and Amir's store at the Damascus Gate, on time and within the hour. The young lad that sat across the cash desk briefly looked up from his paperwork and with a cursory glance of his eyes, stared at Ephraim before returning back to his papers spread all over the desk. "I'll take that look as a yes, shall I?" "Take it whatever you want, sir." Ephraim shrugged his shoulders and rolled his eyes as he left. His smartphone that was in the left inside pocket of his coat pinged. The text message was from Amir. It simply read, "Still waiting at the checkpoint at the wall of separation." It was a strange friendship Ephraim and Amir had, as it was unusual for a young Jewish boy and a Palestinian Arab boy to talk to each other, let alone become friends. They met 2 years ago at the wall of separation following Amir's beating at the hands of Ephraim's classmates, who had picked on Amir for being an Arab. The beating was an act of retaliation for the Jewish children that had been killed in the latest suicide bombers attack. Their friendship developed, and as they had a common aim, to prove to their families and friends that a Jew and an Arab can live side by side. What they needed to do was to find common ground and work at those areas. Differences they simply needed to accept and respect. The little bread store with Ephraim and Amir owned offered both Jewish and Arab breads, bagels, shalal, sarge and pita breads. Their customers were the thousands of pilgrims and tourists from all differing religions coming to the old city on a daily basis to visit the holy places of Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, the Dome of the Rock, its golden roof, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Holy Sepulchre. And these were all daily trails, and the money they would raise, they would then put together for a little community to try and get the Arab boys and the Jewish boys to play football and their sports and to understand that they are not different, they are human beings, and that human beings are all one kind.
Wow. The message is beautiful. The prose is so well written. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. John, I know that many of our listeners now are saying to themselves, where can I get a copy of this book? Amazon, of course, is the big person, the big boy, the big gorilla when it comes to books. I went to Amazon. Let me spell your name and let me give them the specific title of the book. The specific title of the book is easy to remember. It's The Smart Kids by John, J-O-H-N, Crowley, C-R-O-W-L-E-Y. If you
they'll find it on the J.T. Crowley, because that's the name that I go under, and I write under J.T. Crowley.
It's listed under J.T. Crowley.
Yeah.
What does the T stand for?
Thomas.
Oh, of course. John Thomas.
I am John Thomas. I'm named after both of my grandparents.
Oh, I like that. All right, so all they have to do, and there's a UK Amazon that works as well as the American Amazon, so all they have to do is go to Amazon. There's a search feature, and if they use the drop-down menu. There's also a books feature that will search simply books. So if they drop it down, click on books, and then put in The Smart Kids by J.T. Crowley, it's right there. And the cover is adorable. It's really so attractive. They can also find you on social media. Do you have a web? Let's give them the website.
Okay. The website is www.jtcrowley.com.
And you're doing Facebook?
Facebook is JTC Crowley.
Twitter?
Twitter is, I'm just having a look at that one. It's John Thomas Crowley at JT Crowley 187.
Say that again, John.
It's John Thomas Crowley at JT Crowley 187.
Perfect. Now, what about Instagram? You said you're also doing Instagram.
I am on Instagram, and I can't find the profile on that at the moment. But if you put JT Crowley in on Instagram, you will find me.
You have a YouTube channel. What will they find if they go to your YouTube channel?
On YouTube, they will go on to there. And again, if they put JT Crowley in, they will see some little videos that are put on YouTube.
All right. I have come to the end of our chat today. This has just been absolutely delightful. I always like for an author to be able to have the last word with our listeners. What last word would you like to leave with the people who are listening to us right now about the book, The Smart Kids?
I want kids to have fun reading, to understand that different children from different parts of the world lead and experience different lives. And these short stories are telling kids all about different issues that face kids today. But the characters are very funny, and the way that they talk to each other and the people that they meet. And this is my tester book out to the markets, because my next little book, which I'm writing, is my spy book, because I love spy technology. I love spy books.
I hope we'll get to talk again. So do I. You can find John J.T. Crowley's book, The Smart Kids, on Amazon. You've been listening to the Books on Air podcast, brought to you on webtalkradio.net. And by the way, you can also hear this podcast on iTunes and iHeartRadio. I'm Suzanne Harris, and I hope you'll join our next Books on Air podcast. Remember, it's the place to be. Thanks so much for listening.